and thank you for listening. My name is Nate Smith, examining Logan County for this week ending Friday, October 25th, 2024. And this Examiner Audio Extra today is presented by Peak Fiber, Logan County's fastest, most reliable internet service. For a stronger, faster connection, call 937-599-7220 or visit peakfiber.net to boost your internet experience today. This week, we'll review a few of the biggest headlines from the week, as well as look into a few of the leading stories that was in our community. First, beginning with a tragic accident at a local construction site that occurred Monday, October 21st, Matthew Clark, 37, of Grove City, succumbed to injuries sustained while operating a boom lift at 1008 Fall Ridge Court in Belle Fountain. The accident, which involved unloading drywall, resulted in a fatal injury when the boom unexpectedly shifted, pinning Clark against the truck. He remained pinned there for 13 minutes before he was freed. Clark was transported to Mary Rutan Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. Upon investigation, police found that the remote control strap was broken and the control for the boom's movement was jammed forward, possibly contributing to the malfunction. Representatives from the Toledo Office of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration responded to the scene and are conducting an investigation. Logan County Coroner's Office personnel were notified and also attended the scene. In another story, a 13-year-old Belle Fountain boy is in stable condition now after a serious accident on Saturday, October 19th. He was riding a motorized mini bike on the Simon Kenton bike trail when he was struck by a pickup truck at the crossing at Township Road 190. The boy was airlifted to Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus for treatment. He's now recovering. The bike rider was operating a northbound 2012 Coleman Power Sports mini bike along the trail when he reportedly failed to yield, traveled on to Township Road 190, and was struck by a westbound 2011 Ford F-150 pickup. Upon impact, the boy was thrown from the bike. The truck's driver, Daniel Eyrick, 40, and a passenger, Sierra Eyrick, 38, both of West Liberty, were uninjured. The bike appeared to be traveling at a high rate of speed at the time of the crash, according to one witness at the scene. School news now. Belle Fountain Middle School's Vice Principal Matt Comstock took a spirit day to the next level by camping out in the courtyard for not one but 3 days. His commitment came after students sold an impressive 67,000 booster bars for a school fundraiser. True to his word, Comstock set up camp, holding meetings and keeping up with his responsibilities from a tent, bringing smiles and excitement to students that saw him each day. More on education. Area superintendents from all local schools gathered Tuesday, October 22nd at the Ohio High Point Career Center for a forum on modern education challenges. The meeting was organized by the Logan County Chamber of Commerce as part of its Legislative Impact Series. The superintendents discussed topics like the integration of technology in schools and the increasing need for mental health, nutrition, and other services for students. The superintendents also discussed their passion for education and love for their districts, students, and staff.
We have something for every student, and that means even the challenging students. So we've all talked about all of the challenges that we have, but meeting those needs and addressing all of the challenges, that's a pretty good feeling to know that really there are no students who are left out there with a want that we haven't been able to fill.
That's Belle Fountain Superintendent Brad Hall discussing how Belle Fountain City Schools meets the needs of all of its students. Scott Mann, Superintendent of Riverside, discusses his unique connection with his students.
I got a unique thing with these guys. I spent about 15 years in manufacturing and working at Honda and stuff before I even went to college. And now I'm in school, so I've seen both sides of how the world works. And I'm able to talk with kids on that level. And I think everyone in here has got into this for kids, and if they haven't, they're probably in the wrong profession, because I look at it as we're trying to build productive adults when they get into society, and that's really when I'm there. And I go back to an old video by Rita Pearson where it said every kid needs a champion. I think that's very important for all of us to remember.
Finally, the ongoing support for Indian Lake tornado victims continues, as many displaced families by the March 14th storm are now preparing to spend the winter in campers. Thursday, October 24th, the Galilee Lutheran Church hosted a tornado survivors dinner where volunteers provided meals and guidance on winterizing campers to help families cope with the upcoming cold months. Galilee volunteer Perry Bonner, who has been supporting families since the tornado, shared that while their needs are immense, the community stands ready to help all of the victims every step of the way. I had the chance to talk with her Thursday. Here now is that interview in its entirety.
We used to live on Turkey Foot 5 years ago, and we moved down back to Tip City for family.
Mm-hmm.
But when that tornado hit, my heart just cracked, because I knew when they said Midway that these people's lives were going to be changed forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I had to decide quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had to decide quickly what my role was going to be. And so I came here and helped people put together all of their paperwork. Red Cross was telling them they couldn't help them because they didn't have a utility bill. And they sent them to Lakeview Electric, which was gone. So I had to go to the two MARC centers and explain to them that, because these are all people in from all around, that you can't send people away because of that. Send them to me. So I started getting people coming from there. I would pull up Spectrum bills, gas bills, whatever I needed to get them what they needed so they could go and get information. I provided them with folders. I provided them with flash drives up front so that we could keep everything together. So when FEMA came, we had everything that FEMA was looking for right there in their folder, taught them to keep receipts, and that's what we've done. Because, you know, FEMA does do good for people, but FEMA is not easy. If you're not computer comfortable, phone comfortable, FEMA's a nightmare. I've got people who, if they do it on their phone, it takes no time at all for them because they're literate on their phone. But if they call FEMA, they've been on hold for 3 to 4 hours. That's not doable for people. So that's where I come in. So we've had to find safe ways to allow them to provide heat in their campers, and we've purchased the equipment, and we're meeting with those same people to teach them how to do this safely. So some examples, they've got propane heaters, indoor propane heaters. They've got CO2 monitors. They've got fire extinguishers. They've got the proper hoses to connect all this up safely. Wayward Ministries has worked with us, and from the very beginning, Lakeside Propane came to me and said, hey, we want to help people. And they have come through like champs in helping people. So they're helping get people covered and giving them a nice discount, and through donations pick up that to help those people get through the winter. We've provided gas cards. We've still got two people that are living on generators, and so gas cards. And that's 7 months. Imagine 7 months of listening to a gas generator outside your door 24/7. That's not fun. So our thing is, if we can keep getting people together and making them comfortable, get them together, let them get comfortable with one another, and realize that, you know what, we are moving forward. Maybe one step per day, but it's still forward progress. And I've got some great assistance with FEMA. Local EMA is working with individuals. There's just a lot of moving parts, so I try to help people make sure that they're utilizing all of the available resources. And we also have been blessed with resources. The Moose gave us a very generous donation early on, and we've had donations from all over the country to help people fill the gaps that FEMA or insurance or other things can't help with. But more than anything, I think sometimes it's just that emotional support that really helps people, and to have them know that there's a congregation behind them. No questions, no judgment. We're not here because we expect you to come to church on Sunday. We're just here to help you.
Yeah. So, you know, last thing here, really, I know you're super busy, but we talked about this a little bit already. The tornado got a lot of attention. The weeks and months have passed. That attention has dwindled. The need has persisted. And you have churches like Galilee and a lot of other social service agencies and community organizations and businesses.
And churches.
And churches,
many other churches,
of course. Yes,
yeah.
Coming together and
they're not coming together.
Okay.
We're all working individually.
Sure, there you go.
Which is probably not as good as if we all came together.
Okay.
But that's okay. If that's, you know, we tried to do a unity kind of unified church meeting, and nobody was interested. They wanted to do their own thing. That's fine. That's
okay.
Do your thing. But, you know, an example, you heard me asking one of the attendees about whether her trailer had been moved yet. She's got to move off Orchard Island because she can't put a trailer back on her property. She has a used trailer that somebody gifted her. She bought a property in Wapakoneta. We've been waiting for months for EMA to get her moved trailer to property. And, you know, I've got other people that are we're in that same situation. It's a very slow moving process. Thankfully, my husband's a contractor, so he's been able to help me make sure that people are getting good estimates, because a good estimate is everything for FEMA. And we've got a lot of people being abused when it comes to contracting around here. You know, I don't know if you know anything about contracting or anything, but I had a woman who came to me, I'd never seen her before, and she came to me and she said she just gave some guy $10,000 to replace her windows. I said, how many windows are we talking about? And she said, 11. I said, oh honey, I wish you'd seen me sooner, because there's no way, 11 windows, there would have to be whole wall windows to cost you $10,000. So it's, there's a lot of abuse that goes on. There's a lot of scamming, you know, and a lot of these people I've known from day one. So thank you.
And wanted to be their best friend, so it's personal, right?
It is, yeah. You know, I mean, I just wanted them to be comfortable. I wanted them to know that I wasn't just here for the first week or 2 weeks. And that was my mantra to them. I'm nobody, I'm not FEMA, I'm not Red Cross, I'm a member of Galilee, and Galilee has offered to support you in any way we can find. But we're going to be really good friends over the next couple of years, because it's going to take that. I've personally touched 93 different families since I started this, and if I had to guess, I'd say maybe 12 are okay. Others have done it on their own, so they haven't come back. That's great. But there's probably about 25 or 30 that I'm still working with on a regular basis. That still brings me back 1 and 2 days a week just to meet with people, to do the paperwork with FEMA and everyone else. So it's a labor of love.
A special thanks to Perry for agreeing to speak with me and for all the work that she and Galilee are doing, along with all the other churches and local organizations, businesses too, helping in the tornado efforts. That concludes our time together today. My name is Nate Smith, and thanks for examining Logan County. A reminder, your local news is available anytime. Visit examiner.org or follow us on Facebook.